Greetings. My name is Duane Lynn, and I'm going to begin today reading John Gill's exposition of the entire Bible. I'm reading from the Sword Searcher version of John Gill's exposition, and it can be purchased at www.swordsearcher.com if you want to read along with what I'm reading. There's going to be some names that I mention in here that some of you may or may not recognize, which is why I recommend having a hard copy of it so you can look these individuals up at your leisure. And other than that, here we go. John Gill's exposition of the entire Bible, Genesis 1, verse 1. Introduction to Genesis. This book, in the Hebrew copies of the Bible and by the Jewish writers, is generally called Bereshith, which signifies in the beginning, being the first word of it, as the other four books of Moses are also called from their initial words. In the Syriac and Arabic versions, the title of this book is The Book of Creation, because it begins with an account of creation of all things, and is such an account, and so good in one, as is not to be met with anywhere else. The Greek version calls it Genesis, and so we and other versions from thence, and that because it treats of the generation of all things, of the heavens and the earth, and all that are in them, and of the genealogy of men. It treats of the first men, of the patriarchs before the flood, and after it, to the times of Joseph. It is called the first book of Moses, because there are four more that follow. The name the Jewish rabbis give to the whole is a Jewish word, which means the five-fifths of the law, to which the Greek word Pentateuch answers, by which we commonly call these books, they being but one volume consisting of five parts, of which this is the first. And that they were all written by Moses is generally believed by Jews and Christians. Some ascetical persons have suggested the contrary. Our countryman Hobbes would have it that these books are called his, not from his being the author of them, but from his being the subject of them, not because they were written by him, but because they treat of him. But certain it is that Moses wrote both of them, and was read as he was in the Jewish synagogues every Sabbath day, which can relate to no other writings but these, John 1, verse 45. And Spinoza, catching at some doubts raised by Aben Ezra on Deuteronomy 1, verse 1, concerning some passages which seem to him to have been added by another hand, forms objections against Moses being the author of the book of Genesis, which are sufficiently answered by Carp Zovius. Nor can Ezra be the author of the Pentateuch, as Spinoza suggests or suspects, since it is plain that these writings were in being before his time, in the times of Josiah, Amaziah, yea, of David, and also of Joshua, 2 Chronicles 34, verse 14. Nay, they are even referred to in the book of Ezra as the writings of Moses, Ezra 3, verse 2, to which may be added, in proof of the same, Deuteronomy 31, verse 9. Nor are there any other writings of his authentic, what are ascribed to him as the analepsis of Moses, his apocalypse, and his last will and testament are apocryphal. That this book of Genesis particularly was written by him is evident from the testimony of Philip and even of our Lord Jesus Christ, who both testify that he wrote concerning the Messiah, John 1 verse 45, as he did in this book, where he speaks of him as the seed of the woman that should break the serpent's head, is the seed of Abraham, in whom all the nations of the earth should be blessed, and as the Shiloh, to whom the gathering of the people should be, Genesis 3, verse 15. Nor is there any reason to believe that he wrote this book from the annals of the patriarchs, since it does not appear, nor is it very probable, that they had any, nor from traditions delivered down from one to another, from father to son, which is more probable, considering the length of the lives of the patriarchs. But yet such a variety of particulars respecting times, places, persons, their genealogies and circumstances, so nicely and exactly given, can scarcely be thought to be the fruit of memory, and much less is it to be imagined that he was assisted in it by Gabriel when he lived in solitude in Midian. But it is best of all to ascribe it to divine inspiration, as all scripture is by the apostle, in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. For who else but God could have informed him of the creation, and the manner and order in which every creature was brought into being, with a multitude of things recorded in this book, the design of which is to lead men into the knowledge and worship of the one true God, the creator of all things, and of the origin of mankind, the fall of our first parents, and their posterity in them, and to point at the means and method of the recovery of man by the Messiah, the promised seed, and to give an account of the state and case of the Church of God in the times of the patriarchs, both before and after the flood, from Adam in the line of Seth to Noah, and from Noah to the times of Joseph, in whose death it ends. And, according to Bishop Usher, it contains an history of 2,369 years. Introduction to Genesis 1. This chapter contains an account of the creation of the universe and all things in it, asserts the creation of the heaven and earth in general, and describes the state and condition of the earth in its first production, Genesis 1 verse 1, and then proceeds to declare the work of each of the 6 days of creation, and to give an account of light, its separation from darkness, and the names of both, the work of the first day, Genesis 1 verse 3, of the firmament, its use and name, the work of the second day, Genesis 1 verse 6, of the appearance of the earth, and the production of grass, herbs, and trees in the earth, the work of the third day, Genesis 1 verse 9, of the sun, moon, and stars, their situation, and use, the work of the fourth day, Genesis 1 verse 14, of the fowls of the air, and the fishes of the sea, the work of the fifth day, Genesis 1 verse 19, of all kinds of cattle, and beasts, and creeping things, Genesis 1 verse 24, and then of man, created male and female after the image of God, having a grant of dominion over the rest of the creatures, the fruit of divine consultation, Genesis 1 verse 26, and of a provision of food for man and beast, Genesis 1 verse 29. And the chapter is concluded with a survey God took of all his works and his approbation of them, all which were the work of the sixth day, and closes the account of the creation in that space of time, Genesis 1 verse 31. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. By the heaven, some understand the supreme heaven, the heaven of heavens, the habitation of God and of the holy angels, and this being made perfect at once, no mention is made after it, as of the earth. And it is supposed that the angels were at this time created, since they were present at the laying of the foundation of the earth, Job 38, verse 6. But rather the lower, invisible heavens are meant, at least are not excluded, that is, the substance of them, as yet being imperfect and unadorned, the expanse, not yet made, or the ether and air not yet stretched out, nor any light placed in them, or adorned with the sun, moon, and stars. So the earth is to be understood not of that properly so called as separated from the waters, that is, the dry land afterwards made to appear, but the whole mass of earth and water before their separation, and when in their uniformed or unformed and unadorned state, described in the next verse. In short, these words represent the visible heavens and the terraqueous globe in their chaotic state, as they were first brought into being by Almighty power. The Hebrew letter prefixed to both words is, as Aben Ezra observes, expressive of notification or demonstration, as pointing at those heavens and this earth, and shows that things visible are here spoken of, whatever is above us or below us to be seen. For in the Arabic language, as he also observes, the word for heaven comes from one which signifies high or above, as that for earth from one that signifies low and beneath or under. Now, it was the matter or substance of these that was first created. For the word, Jewish word, set before them signifies substance, as both Aben Ezra and Kimchi affirm. Maimonides observes that this particle, according to their wise men, is the same as with. And then the sense is, God created with the heavens whatsoever are in the heavens, and with the earth whatsoever are in the earth. That is, the substance of all things in them. Or all things in them were seminally together. For so he illustrates it by an husbandman sowing seeds of diverse kinds in the earth at one and the same time, some of which come up after one day, and some after 2 days, and some after 3 days, though all sown together. These are said to be created, that is, to be made out of nothing. For what pre-existent matter to this chaos could there be out of which they could be formed? And the apostle says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear, Hebrew 11 verse 3. And though this word is sometimes used, and even in this chapter, of the production of creatures out of pre-existent matter, as in Genesis 1 verse 21, yet, as Nachmanides observes, there is not in the holy language any word but this here used, by which is signified the bringing anything into being out of nothing. And many of the Jewish interpreters, as Aben Ezra, understand by creation here, a production of something into being out of nothing. And Kimchi says that creation is a making some new thing, and a bringing something out of nothing. And it deserves notice that this word is only used of God, and creation must be the work of God. For none but an almighty power could produce something out of nothing. The word used is Elohimo, which some derive from another, which signifies power, creation being an act of almighty power. But it is rather to be derived from the root in the Arabic language, which signifies to worship, God being the object of all religious worship and adoration. And very properly does Moses make use of this appellation here to teach us that he who is the creator of the heavens and the earth is the sole object of worship, as he was of the worship of the Jewish nation, at the head of which Moses was. It is in the plural number, and being joined to a verb of the singular, is thought by many to be designed to point unto us the mystery of a plurality, or trinity of persons in the unity of the divine essence. But whether or no this is sufficient to support that doctrine, which is to be established without it, yet there is no doubt to be made that all the three persons in the Godhead were concerned in the creation of all things. See Psalm 33, verse 6. The heathen poet Orpheus has a notion somewhat similar to this, who writes that all things were made by one Godhead of three names, and that this God is all things. And now, all these things, the heaven and the earth, were made by God in the beginning, either in the beginning of time or when time began, as it did with the creatures, it being nothing but the measure of a creature's duration, and therefore could not be until such existed, or as Jarhi interprets it, in the beginning of the creation, when God first began to create, and is best explained by our Lord. The beginning of the creation which God created, Mark 13, verse 19. And the sense is, either that as soon as God created, or the first he did create, were the heavens and the earth, to which agrees the Arabic version. Not anything was created before them, or in connection with the following words, thus, when first, or in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, then the earth was without form, etc. The Jerusalem Targum renders it, in wisdom God created, see Proverbs 3, verse 19. And some of the ancients have interpreted it of the wisdom of God, the Logos and Son of God. From hence we learn that the world was not eternal, either as to the matter or form of it, as Aristotle and some other philosophers have asserted, but had a beginning, and that its being is not owing to the fortuitous motion and conjunction of atoms, but to the power and wisdom of God, the first cause and sole author of all things, and that there was not anything created before the heaven and the earth were. Hence those phrases, before the foundation of the world, and before the world began, etc., are expressive of eternity. This utterly destroys the notion of the pre-existence of the souls of men, or of the soul of the Messiah. False, therefore, is what the Jews say, that paradise, the righteous, Israel, Jerusalem, etc., were created before the world, unless they mean that these were foreordained by God to be, which perhaps is their sense. John Gill's exposition of the entire Bible, Genesis 1, verse 2. And the earth was without form and void. It was not in the form it now is, otherwise it must have a form, as all matter has. It was a fluid matter. The watery parts were not separated from the earthly ones. It was not put into the form of a terraqueous globe, as it is now, the sea apart, and the earth by itself, but were mixed and blended together. It was, as both the Targums of Jonathan and Jerusalem paraphrase it, a waste and desert, empty and destitute of both men and beasts, and it may be added, of fish and fowls, and also of trees, herbs, and plants. It was, as Ovid calls it, a chaos and an indigested mass of matter. And Hesiod makes a chaos first to exist, and then the wide extended earth, and so Orpheus and others, and this is agreeably to the notion of various nations. The Chinese make a chaos to be the beginning of all things, out of which the immaterial being, God, made all things that consist of matter, which they distinguish into parts they call yin and yang, the one signifying hidden or imperfect, the other open or perfect. And so the Egyptians, according to Diodorus Siculus, whose opinion he is supposed to give, thought the system of the universe had but one form, the heaven and earth, and the nature of them being mixed and blended together until by degrees they separated and obtained the form they now have. And the Phoenicians, as St. Conietho relates, supposed the principle of the universe to be a dark and windy air, or the blast of a dark air, and a turbid chaos surrounded with darkness as follows. And the darkness was upon the face of the deep, the whole fluid mass of earth and water mixed together. This abyss is explained by waters in the next clause, which seem to be uppermost, and this was all a dark, turbid chaos, as before expressed, without any light or motion, till an agitation was made by the Spirit, as is next observed. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, which covered the earth, Psalm 104, verse 6. The earthy particles, being heaviest, sunk lower, and the waters, being lighter, rose up above the others. Hence, Thales, the philosopher, makes water to be the beginning of all things, as do the Indian Brahmins. And Aristotle himself owns that this was the most ancient opinion concerning the origin of the universe, and observes that it was not only the opinion of Thales, but of those that were the most remote from then present generation in which he lived, and of those that first wrote on divine things. And it is frequent in Hesiod and Homer to make Oceanus, or the ocean, with Tethys, to be the parents of generation. And so the scriptures represent the original earth as standing out of the water and consisting of it, 2 Peter 3, verse 5. And upon the surface of these waters, before they were drained off the earth, the Spirit of God moved, which is to be understood not of a wind, as Onkelos, Aben Ezra, and many Jewish writers, as well as Christians, interpret it, since the air, which the wind is a motion of, was not made until the second day. The Targums of Jonathan and Jerusalem call it the Spirit of Mercies, and by it is meant the Spirit of the Messiah, as many Jewish writers call him, that is, the third person in the Blessed Trinity, who was concerned in the creation of all things, as in the garnishing of the heavens, so in bringing the confused matter of the earth and water into form and order. See Job 26, verse 13. This same Spirit moved, or brooded, upon the face of the waters, to impregnate them, as an hen upon eggs to hatch them, so he to separate the parts which were mixed together, and give them a quickening virtue to produce living creatures in them. This sense and idea of the word are finally expressed by our poet. Some traces of this appear in the Hebrew word, or mind of Anaxagoras, which when all things were mixed together, came and set them in order, and the mens of Thales he calls God, which formed all things out of water, and the spiritus intus alit, etc., of Virgil, and with this agrees what Hermes says, that there was an infinite darkness in the abyss, or deep, and water, and a small intelligent spirit endued with a divine power were in the chaos, and perhaps from thence is the mundane egg, or egg of Orpheus, or the firstborn, or first laid egg, out of which all things were formed, and which he borrowed from the Egyptians and Phoenicians, and they perhaps from the Jews, and which was reckoned by them a resemblance of the world. The Egyptians had a deity they called Sinef, out of which whose mouth went forth an egg, which they interpreted of the world, and the Zophazimen of the Phoenicians, which were heavenly birds, were, according to Sanconitho, of the form of an egg. And in the rites of Bacchus, they worshipped an egg as being an image of the world, as Macrobius says, and therefore he thought the question whether an hen or an egg was oldest was of some moment and deserved consideration. And the Chinese say that the first man was produced out of the chaos as from an egg, the shell of which formed the heavens, the white, the air, and the yolk, the earth, and to this incubation of the spirit, or wind, as some would have it, is owing the windy egg of Aristophanes. Genesis 1, verse 3. And God said, this phrase is used 9 times in this account of the creation. It is admired by Longinus, the heathen, in his treatise of the sublime, as a noble instance of it, and it is most beautifully paraphrased and explained in Psalm 33, verse 6, as expressive of the will, power, authority, and efficacy of the divine being, whose word is clothed with power, and who can do and does whatever he will, and as soon as he pleases. His orders are always obeyed. Perhaps the divine person speaking here is the Logos, or Word of God, which was in the beginning with God, and was God, and who himself is the light that lightens every creature. The words spoke were, let there be light, and there was light. It at once appeared. God commanded light to shine out of darkness, as the Apostle says, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. This was the first thing made out of the dark chaos, as in the new creation, or work of grace in the heart. Light is the first thing produced there. What this light was is not easy to say. Some of the Jewish rabbis, and also some Christian writers, think the angels are designed by it, which is not at all probable, as the ends and use of this light show. Others of them are of opinion that it is the same with the sun, of which a repetition is made on the fourth day, because of its use and efficacy to the earth and its plants, but others more rightly take it to be different from the sun, and a more glimmering light, which afterwards was gathered into and perfected in the body of the sun. It is the opinion of Zanchius, and which is approved of by our countryman, Mr. Fuller, that it was a lucid body, or a small lucid cloud, by which its circular motion from east to west made day and night. Perhaps somewhat like a cloudy pillar of fire that guided the Israelites in the wilderness, and had no doubt heat as well as light, and which two indeed more or less go together, and of such fiery particles this body may be well thought to consist. The word signifies both fire and light. Genesis 1 verse 4, and God saw the light that it was good, very pleasant and delightful, useful and beneficial. That is, he foresaw it would be good, of great service, as Picarellius interprets it. For as yet there were no inhabitants of the earth to receive any advantage by it. See Ecclesiastes 11 verse 7. Besides, it was doubtless good to answer some present purposes, to prepare for the work of the two following days before the great luminary was formed, as to dispel the darkness of heaven and that which covered the deep, to rarefy, exhale, and draw up the lighter parts of the chaos in order to form the wide-extended ether, the expanded air, and the surrounding atmosphere, while the Spirit of God was agitating the waters and separating them from the earthly parts, and which also might serve to unite and harden those which were to form the dry land, and also to warm that when it appeared, that it might bring forth grass, herbs, and fruit trees. And God divided the light from the darkness, by which it should seem that they were mixed together, the particles of light and darkness. But by what way is the light parted, severed, and divided from darkness, is a question put to men by the Lord himself, who only can answer it, Job 38, verse 24. He is so divided one from the other that they are not together at the same place in time. When light is in one hemisphere, darkness is in the other. And the one, by certain constant revolutions, is made to succeed the other. And by the motion of the one, the other gives way, as well as also God has divided and distinguished them by calling them by different names, as Aben Ezra, and is what next follows. Genesis 1, verse 5. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. Either by the circulating motion of the above body of light, or by the rotation of the chaos on its own axis towards it, in the space of 24 hours, there was a vicissitude of light and darkness, just as there is now by the like motion either of the sun or of the earth, and which after this appellation God has given, we call the one day and the other night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. The evening, the first part of the night, or darkness, put for the whole night, which might be about the space of 12 hours, and the morning, which was the first part of the day, or light, put also for the whole, which made the same space, and both together one natural day, consisting of 24 hours, what Daniel calls an evening morning, Daniel 8, verse 26. And the apostle, a night day, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 25. Thales, being asked which was first made, the night or the day, answered, the night was before one day. The Jews began their day from the preceding evening. So many other nations, the Athenians used to reckon their day from sunsetting to sunsetting. The Romans from the middle of the night to the middle of the night following. As Gellius relates and Tacitus reports of the ancient Germans, that they used to compute not the number of days but of nights, reckoning that the night led the day. Caesar observes of the ancient Druids in Britain that they counted time not by the number of days but nights, and observed birthdays and the beginnings of months and years, so as that the day followed the night. And we have some traces of this still among us, as when we say this day, say the night, or this day, fortnight. This first day of the creation, according to James Capellus, was the 18th of April, but according to Bishop Usher, the 23rd of October, the one beginning the creation in the spring, the other in autumn. It is a notion of Mr. Whitson's that the 6 days of the creation were equal to 6 years, a day and a year being one, and that the same thing before the fall of man, when the diurnal rotation of the earth about its axis, as he thinks, began, and in agreement with this. Very remarkable is the doctrine Empedocles taught, that when mankind sprung originally from the earth, the length of the day, by reason of the slowness of the sun's motion, was equal to 10 of our present months. The Hebrew word Arab, rendered evening, is retained by some of the Greek poets, as by Hesiod, who says out of the chaos came Erebus and black night, and out of the night, ether, and the day, and as Aristophanes, whose words are chaos, night, and black Erebus, were first, and wide Tartarus. But there were neither earth, air, nor heaven, but in the infinite bosom of Erebus, black winged night first brought forth a windy egg, etc., and Orpheus makes night to be the beginning of all things.